Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. As we remain standing, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you that his words are life and peace, that they offer us great riches, great treasure, and great hope, not just for now, but for eternity. So please open our eyes and our hearts and our ears to your word. We ask this in his name. Amen. Do please be seated. Here's my first question with you as we think about our title today, Investing Wisely and Investing with Jesus. Does anyone know what that is? What that fine piece of kit? Sorry? Amstrad CPC 464, but very, very good. That's very, very good. I think that marks you out as a total geek. Okay. Now, this is a thing of great beauty, this object. This was the first computer me and my brother ever owned. We saved up for months, pocket money, birthday money, Christmas money, and we got together and we pulled our money and we bought it. And in the lead up to it, there was a huge sense of anticipation. We were so excited. There was Harrier Attack to look forward to, and Commando, and Bomberman, or whatever it was called. In fact, in my research for this, Samuel will tell me, I found a site where you can still play the old Amstrad CPC 464 games, and they are still as bad as they were. But in the lead up to it, I was so excited. I couldn't stop thinking about this computer. It was my joy, my delight, my precious. It was, if you like, my treasure. Well, Jesus in our reading today talks about our treasure. And what is our treasure? And as a result, it applies to every one of us. We all treasure things and we all have treasure that we look for. So let's look more closely at our Bible reading today on page 971, or in the I don't know whether you've got the slips down that you have, so it's just in the Bibles today. And when I started looking at this passage about treasure, treasure is mentioned all the way through it, I hit a big surprise for me. I assumed that Jesus would say that somehow our love of treasure was wrong, that it was somehow a bad thing, we shouldn't long for treasure. But the surprising thing is that Jesus commends a love for treasure. He doesn't say, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth and then do something else. He says this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He encourages us to store up treasure. It's a God-given instinct that we value what is beautiful and precious and rewarding. In fact, in the original language, in the Greek, if we translate it more literally, it would say this, Do not treasure up for yourselves treasures on earth. Instead, treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So the issue is not our love for treasure. That is a good and God-given thing. What we're going to see, though, is the issue is how we invest, what treasure we seek. Because there is a type of treasure that glints and shines, but is actually cheap-tacked, that will fade and die. And then on the other hand, there is a treasure which lasts forever. So we're going to listen to Jesus. And let's not forget who Jesus is. He's not only the Son of God, the saviour of the world. But at this point in Matthew, he's a travelling preacher. He has no money or home, no possessions to call his own, just a cloak on his back. And one day even that will be ripped from him. In fact, all his clothes, and he'll be hung from a cross. He was the man who had nothing, but who was more fulfilled than any other human being who's ever walked this earth. So let's find out what he means by treasure, because in his words, we will hear God's word to us. Well, Jesus talks about two possible treasures. The first we're going to look at is what is sometimes known as the treasure of mammon. If we look at the last word in our reading, it says you cannot serve both God and money. Now, once again, in the original Greek, the word used is much more than money. And it's sometimes been translated as mammon. And that word mammon is a term that refers to all earthly wealth, to money and possessions, you know, like the stuff we have. Houses, cars, food, gadgets, holidays, clothes, memberships of clubs or gyms. And of course, this treasure is a very attractive treasure. It's immediate. You can see it, touch it, smell it, even taste it. And it seems like a good investment to put our effort and our time into. Because, well, you can measure it and weigh it. You can count this treasure. But there is a problem, Jesus says. Here's the first part of the problem. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's what Jesus means, this mammon treasure, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. The first problem with this treasure, why Jesus, our investment advisor, warns us against investing our life in this treasure, is this. This treasure doesn't last. So when he says, do not store up your treasure on earth, what does he mean? Well, he means don't store up your treasure on material things that will fade, on either accumulating possessions or hoarding stuff. Now, we might think, well, I'm not a hoarder. I'm not like those people you see on TV where their houses are filled with hoarded stuff. But I was really struck. I thought, how many things do I keep hold of that other people need now because I think I might need it in the future? It's a form of hoarding. And yet, these things I hoard, these things I accumulate, these things we accumulate, they don't last. And so it's foolish to invest ourselves in them. Now, the people Jesus first spoke to, if you're going to ask them what they really meant, Jesus meant by mammon, their possessions, they would mean things like their clothes. And this is the years before Primark. So in those days, people were really poor. And they might just have one cloak. And that was a valued possession because it would keep them dry when it rained and warm at night. And without it, they would be destitute. They would have one cloak. They might have maybe some jewelry. Probably not for most of Jesus' listeners. They'd have their tools, which were vital, whether it's a fishing boat or some sort of metal tool for digging up and ploughing. They would have their crops. They'd have their houses, perhaps, and maybe one or two coins. But Jesus says, look at all that treasure you have and see how temporary it is. Your clothes, the moths can come and attack. And you suddenly find big holes in it. And then he talks about rust. Now here, rust means much more than what we mean. It's not just metals sort of going rusty, oxidizing. It is actually, rust meant anything which devours something material. So it could include mice and rats eating your crops. It could mean the rot which destroyed the beam of your house such that it collapsed. It could mean the mildew that destroyed the walls. And ultimately, the rot which destroys life itself, death. Now, of course, we probably don't face many of the same threats. Instead, we probably face other threats to our wealth and our possessions, which make them fade. The threat of losing a job. The danger of our computer being hacked. Our white goods designed to break down. Our computers forever becoming obsolete. That computer there, you put the information into it with a cassette tape. Can you imagine that anymore? It took 15 minutes to load the most rubbish game. Our new car losing a third of its value as it drives off the forecourt. We have different forms of moth, rust, and thief. But we share one type of decay with them, which is death. So Jesus says to invest your life in something which is going to end. Why would you do that? Don't be a mug. Don't be a muppet. But the other reason he warns us against it is because making earthly things our treasure is deathly. Look at this. The eye is the lamp of the body. Here Jesus is using an analogy. He's saying, if you like, your treasure is what you look at. And what you look at goes into your eyes and down into your heart. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus here is saying that if we fix our eyes on this earthly decaying treasure, its decay will go through our eyes and into our hearts. We'll be left with a darkness within, where nothing is ever enough, where we are always left dissatisfied. Brief glimpses of satisfaction when we get something new, but then fading. It's why ultimately we're left empty and hungry for more. So Jesus says, don't waste your life with this treasure. Instead, invest in the other treasure, which is that of heaven, which is God himself. To go for the real returns, the ones that will last. He says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Make sure that you are investing in things which will last forever, Jesus tells us, and will never corrupt or fade or die. Make sure that you use your time, talent, and treasure for what God is about. Doing what Peter's just been telling us. Isn't that an amazing thought? Peter's invested his life in the Nepalese church. He's given up huge amounts to do that. But he has won a great treasure. Be part of a work that sees 4,000 Christians in an area where there were none. Or also investing in God's righteousness, doing justice and loving mercy, and becoming the people he wants us to be. It's a harder investment because we don't see the returns for our investment quite so quickly. But it does bring us eternal rewards. And even now it has a reward. Because when we fix our eyes on him instead of the darkness around us, then instead of darkness pouring into our hearts, his light does. I don't know whether you've ever noticed this, but people who let go of their earthly possessions, who seem to just give it away at every opportunity, they have a lightness about them. My mum used to sing me a song when I was a child. It went like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Every opportunity we have to live more simply, to give more to God, is an opportunity to be lighter within. But we might say, well, can't we have both? Do I have to choose? Jesus says, yes, we do. No one can serve two masters, Jesus says. Hear his words to us in verse 24. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's a simple choice. The reason we can't have both is that our treasure determines the attitude of our heart. And our heart is that bit in us, well, not just our emotions, but the thing which determines our will and our choices, our decisions. Our heart determines who is therefore in control of our lives. Where we look, what we treasure, verse 21, is where our heart is. And Jesus knows that when we make earthly things our treasure, we started worshipping a false god, if you like, a substitute god, or what the Bible calls an idol called mammon. And if our treasure is mammon, possessions, we will worship him. We will end up slaving for him. Our work will start to drive us and control us. We might try and buy God off with a bit, but our real Lord will be this false god mammon. But if our treasure is God, we'll end up worshipping him and living to serve him. But here's a really good question then. How do I know? How do I know whether I'm worshipping mammon or God? Well, let's look at the three things Jesus mentions. The eyes, the heart, and the work. If you like, the hands. First of all, the eyes. Here's a question to ask ourselves. If the eyes are what we fix on our treasure, what are our eyes looking at? Now, sometimes I could be literally looking, what we're looking at the computer screen or in the newspaper or on the television, and we can't stop looking at it. But it's also what we're thinking about most of the time. When I was sort of getting ready to buy that Amstrad computer, the CPC 464, I couldn't stop thinking and talking about it. I'll tell everyone its specifications, even though I didn't really know what they meant. I thought they would change my life. I thought this thing would make my life complete. And is that just a childish thing? No. This, as I was preparing this, I was also preparing to buy a new lawnmower. Now, I know I've mentioned my lawnmower before, and it died. So I was going to buy a new lawnmower. And I was so excited about it. And I kid you not, I started thinking this thing was going to transform my life, which is unlikely since I only ever mow the lawn once a year. But I thought it's going to be it. It's going to be wonderful. It's got this very clever edging thing. And oh, it's going to be brilliant. I wonder what it is that you find yourself thinking about. What your eyes are fixed on. Somebody once said this to me and it really struck in my mind. An idol is what we think about when our mind is idle. What is it we keep on having our gaze switched to? What is it we keep on thinking about? A second sign is our heart. Is our heart light within us or dark within us? Is it filled with joy at God's provision for us and his grace to us such that it longs to pour out to other people? Or is inside the darkness of dissatisfaction, envy, and emptiness? Because that betrays where our treasure is. Think about it. Think about what you feel, your reaction when you hear someone blessed with something you would like. How's your heart then? How's my heart then? And finally, work. What drives me? What motivates me? Is it earning money or studying to earn money? Or our children studying to earn money? Or is it, in retirement, holding on to the money that is important to us? What drives us? Do we put the same effort into our service of God, into our doing things of eternal value, as we do other things? Do we put the same effort into our service of God outside of the place that gives us money, as well as inside it? If we truly make our treasure God, our treasure heavenly things, I think people will see the following three things about us, and we're going to finish with this. They're going to see that what drives and excites us is different from other people. If earthly things are our treasure, the things that will drive us are things like prestige, money, and self-esteem. But if heavenly things are our treasure, we won't be worried if our work is unrecognized by others, because we know that God sees what we do. We won't complain if we don't think we get the money or we got the money we deserved, because we know that God gave us his very own son. And we won't be defensive when we are knocked back, because our emotional security will not be found in how people speak of us, but in the fact that God has made us his precious child. So what drives us and excites us is different. Secondly, people will see that work does not own us. We do not always give our paid work our greatest and highest. Yes, there'll be things in our work which serve and honour God, but there'll be times when work has to give way, because we are storing up our treasure not in earthly things, but in heavenly things. And people will see that we take our responsibilities under the Lord Jesus outside of our paid work as seriously, in fact, more seriously than our paid work, whether they be responsibilities to our families, our neighbourhoods, or our church. So work does not own us, and money does not define us. Do you know, if we truly got this, outsiders would come into church and they wouldn't see any difference between those who are paid to do the work in church and those who aren't. They'll see the same levels of commitment, drive, professionalism, dedication. Why? Why will they see that? Because, of course, we've got a much higher and greater and better reason for working than just money. We have our heavenly treasure to store up, the Lord Jesus. And that will also affect retirement. Retirement will no longer be the reward for a life of work, because that would be seeking an earthly reward, wouldn't it? An earthly treasure. It would just be a new phase of serving the Lord wholeheartedly and full time in many, many different ways. Sometimes caring for family, sometimes going on trips like the Romania trip, sometimes spending time with neighbours so that they can hear the gospel, sometimes helping out at church. So Jesus says, don't invest our treasure in a treasure that will fade. Invest in a treasure that will last forever. And the challenge for us over the next few weeks is not to feel, oh, it's another challenging series of sermons, although it will be. It's to be think, I'm going to get a chance to make a decent investment in my life. I'm going to get the advice of God's word. I'm going to try and follow it in his strength. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the treasures of this world are so enticing. And Lord, so often the treasures you offer, we allow to become dim in our thinking. Lord, please just captivate our hearts with a glimpse of your heavenly treasure, of knowing you, of seeing you glorified, of being part of your kingdom. And Lord, may that transform our attitude. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.